So every kind of first Sunday of the year, we do a little bit of a year in review, so to say. Some people love it. Some people, it's not their preference, but it's an important part of the year, looking back, reflecting on what God has done, looking forward to what we're hoping for, what we're praying for in the next 12 months. And so as I always go about this process, one of the things that I do is I look back through my journals. I journal most days. I journal, and I use an app called Day One on my laptop or on my phone or whatever it might be. And so you can look back at what you journaled. And as I was looking back at last year, in other words, like December 2023, January 2024, what I saw was a lot of musing and a great deal of what on earth am I doing with my life? How many of you have, if you look back on your journals, you'd have some of those same kinds of questions, maybe even this year or in the last 12 months, where you look back and you say, what on earth am I doing? And 12 months ago, I looked back and I had lots of questions, very itchy, couldn't quite seem to figure it out. And, you know, the Lord has wired each of us differently. I'm well aware of that. And some of you, it sounds great. I mean, the idea of not knowing what to do sounds awesome. You would just love to just toe the line for the next 60 years of your life. And that sounds perfect. But everybody's different, and I get itchy. I mean, I'm literally physically itchy right now talking about being itchy. And so if you looked at my journals from January 2024, I had questions like, should I do my doctorate? Should I join the Coast Guard or auxiliary and become a chaplain? Should I join the police department chaplaincy? Should Revolve start a school? Should we do more training with missionaries? Should we train local church? Should I just keep doing what I'm doing? These are all the questions that I was journaling about 13 months ago, 12 months ago. And early in January, actually it was just about a year ago, David and I went up to New York City at the invitation of the mission agency that the Vances are with, and we did some training with their coworkers, with the fellow missionaries who live in the city and work around New York City with unreached people groups. Unreached people groups are people who have limited or no access to the gospel in their own language. And so we did a training with them, and we had a great time. And it just made me want more. It made me want more, that I didn't come back from that trip saying, oh, that scratched the itch. I came back from that trip saying, God, give me more. And the truth is that more is what I wasn't seeing. I wanted more, but it wasn't happening. And so I did what most people would do if you're wired like me. And again, you might say, I'm not wired like you. Okay, well, this is what I did. I did everything. I started my doctorate. I signed up for the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I emailed and texted all of my old contacts to see if they had anything going on. I cold called a guy and asked if I could buy his house, knowing that it would need a ton of work. Simply stated, I got super busy because I figure I'll just throw a bunch of darts and see what sticks. Now, I don't know about you, but when I feel confused with life, when I feel like I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't really know what God is doing, what I tend to do is just brainstorm and kind of grab the bull by the horns and go instead of waiting and being still. No wonder God reminds us some 24 times in the Psalms to wait on him. Wait, wait, wait. But we're slow to learn. Some of us are slower than others. And so I found that I was itchy to do more of what we did in New York City. Disciple leaders, discipleship trainings. But the truth is that everywhere we looked, God kept shutting doors. I'll give you a few examples. We had to cancel every single mission trip in 2024. Because of lack of interest or lack of ability to go or whatever might have been the case. I had to cancel multiple trainings either with Revolve or with other churches and leaders. Matter of fact, I had trainings that I was invited to and then they canceled. I had one church in New Jersey ask me to train them and I went to the first training and then they uninvited me after the first session. Okay? But little did I know that God had his own plan. I mean, surprise, surprise. We just sang about this. Who can fathom his ways? Little did I know God had his own plan. Because also in January of 2024, I met a few key people who I would spend much of my time in this past year meeting with them, discipling them, encouraging them. And if I had just waited on the Lord instead of brainstorming in my flesh, I probably could have avoided a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress and a lot of emails withdrawing from things that I signed up for after the fact, like the Coast Guard. See, because God raised up about 4 or 5 men in the last 12 months where I would invest in them for a good portion of the year. And all of them were from unexpected scenarios, from random dinners with friends of friends to visits to a doctor's office. God brought us into relationship with No Limits Boxing Academy, where we've been blessed to volunteer alongside some awesome leaders who want to make a difference in at-risk youth. We've seen at least 8 of those kids make professions of faith. We've had the privilege of seeing leaders grow in their faith and be baptized. God brought us into a great contact, Josh and Jen, who you guys have met, who have a clearly established partnership in South Asia, a work that we can onboard relatively quickly. But I want you to consider this. None of those relationships came from my brainstorming. None of those relationships came from my strategizing. None of those relationships were born out of my anxieties of, well, what am I supposed to be doing? Every single person in whom I am currently heavily investing, whether that's domestic or overseas, every single partnership that I have that might turn into something of substance, every scenario worth writing home about, 100% of them came not from Bill's grand ideas, but from God's provision. And if you could look at your life, some of you are very introspective, and maybe you've already done this, and some of you would rather not visit your cranium. There's 2 types of people, by the way. There's people who never want to leave their head, and there's people who don't want to visit. The challenge is finding the balance somewhere in the middle. But if you were to visit your own life and pursue that process of introspection, I bet that you would find much of the same. That the things that are bearing fruit, the things that are substantive in your life, are the things that the Lord has done, not the things that you did. Well, one of my favorite verses to meditate on when I wake up in the morning, often because I'm groggy, I'm waking up, and I like to just pick a verse or a small section of scripture and just think and process for a few minutes before I actually begin my quiet time with the Lord. And one of those verses is Psalm 46:10, which many of you are familiar with. Even if you don't know you're familiar with it, you've heard it. And that's, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. Being still is the opposite of striving. Being still is the opposite of striving. Matter of fact, if you were going to look up this word in the Hebrew or this phrase, "be still," what you would find is that it means stop striving. It means relax, or literally sink, to sink. So I want you to think about somebody who is, they've fallen out of a capsized boat and they're in the ocean and they're just thrashing about and they're thrashing about and they're thrashing about. And what is one of the first things you learn in swimming lessons? That if you think you're drowning, what are you supposed to do as the person comes to rescue you? You're supposed to relax and stop thrashing. Because as you thrash, it makes it more difficult for the person who's actually trying to rescue you and bring you into safety. And so think about that idea that God says, stop thrashing about and let yourself sink for a moment, because I am God and I know what I'm doing. See, being still is a posture of surrender and humility. What's a posture? A posture, for those of you guys who don't know, it's you think about the way you hold yourself, okay? And so, for example, we say in worship, we say, please stand, all right? Why do we say please stand? It's not that we're going to yell at you if you sit, but the reason we say please stand is because when a king comes into a room, you do one of a couple things. You fall on your face, you kneel, or you what? Stand. That's a posture of your body. You don't stay sitting when a king enters the room unless you can't get up. And so when we talk about a posture of our heart, it's the same kind of idea, young people. It's the idea of what is the posture of your heart? Is it one of being teachable? Is it one of humility? Is it one of arrogance? Is it one of thinking that we know it all? Or are we saying, I have a posture right now of stillness, of surrender, of realizing that all of my thrashing about at the end of the day will not accomplish anything. I have a posture that says, you are God, I am not, and so I can let myself sink into his arms. That's what it means when it says, be still. Being still says, my work, my busyness, my efforts, my anxiety accomplishes nothing of eternal value, because Jesus says very clearly, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder builds in vain. He says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so being still acknowledges all of that. Now, I need you to realize that this is the opposite of what the world tells you. That's part of the conundrum, is that the world says, make 40 New Year's resolutions. Download the Atoms app so that you can develop atomic habits this year. This is what the world says to do. The world says, come up with a strategic action plan. The world says, get rich, get published, get famous, make a name for yourself. But the God who created the universe, the God who breathes out galaxies, the God who holds your very being together, the God who knows every nook and cranny of your heart, the God who says, you could try to run away from me and hide in the dark, but even the darkness is as light to me, Psalm 139. The God who knows the number of your days before you lived a single one of them, the God who knows your strength, your weaknesses, and everything in between, he says, I have some other advice. Be still. Be still. Why do we strive? I think one of the reasons we strive, honestly, is because we want to be exalted. See, God says, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted. I think one of the reasons that we strive is because in our mind, even though we don't really believe this, or we wouldn't acknowledge it out loud, for all intents and purposes, we strive because we say, I'm going to strive because I'm basically the next closest thing to God, and I want to be exalted. And so therefore, I'm going to strive. But once we realize that we're not God, and it's about his kingdom and not our tower of cards, once we step back and realize that it's not about exalting myself, it's not about building my empire, then we can press pause. Then we can sink. Then we can relax. And then we realize that a lot of our personal ambitions, a lot of our pursuits, a lot of our anxieties drift away when we remember whose kingdom it actually is at the end of the day and who rules the world. And this is even ministry desires. I mean, if you looked at the list of the things that I wanted in 2024, they were, quote, good desires. But even good desires can crowd our hearts and our minds and essentially become idols that we pursue instead of pursuing God. And so God's word is, be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted. And that's really good news, guys, that God will be exalted. Jesus is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's really good news, because that means that God will be exalted even if I accidentally bought a house in lower instead of middle. God will be exalted even if I got this job instead of that job. God will be exalted whether or not I get my doctorate. God will be exalted whether or not I do this or that or the other thing, because his plan supersedes all of my decisions. Not because I'm a robot and I just do whatever God says, but because his plans will not be thwarted. God will be exalted. Why? Well, because God is always at work. Even if you can't see it in the moment, but when you look at the day, you might say, well, God's not doing anything. And I'm sure there's been plenty of times in your life as you looked at your family, as you looked at your marriage, as you looked at your life, as you looked at Revolve, as you looked at lots of things, you said, God's not doing anything. But when you step back from a different perspective and you look at it over the course of a year, over 5 years, over 10 years, over a lifetime, you see the incremental work of God. Just as God promised, my word never returns void. I will build my church. And so God is working. God is working. I'll give you some highlights from 2024. Revolve grew in attendance by 25% last year. But leading up to Christmas, we were averaging about 225 people a week, including almost 50 kids a week at check-in. Sorry, teachers. We saw about 14 people baptized. We saw 12 discipleship groups. Discipleship groups are groups that meet in people's homes. A couple meet at the office, but they meet in homes to basically be like a microcosm of the church family. That means they want to connect with God together. They want to connect in relationship, and they want to encourage to live out mission throughout the week. We have 12 discipleship groups currently functioning, including 3 new groups that launched last year. The Women's Prayer and Fellowship monthly meeting has met consistently and been encouraging to many people. Beyond this, we were able to spend time with some of our missionary families this year. Michael and Sarah were here with their boys from Germany. We saw Isaac and Gloria from South Asia. We, not on a Sunday morning, but we met with Milan and Misha from the Czech Republic midweek. Joe and Rochelle Stewart came and hung out with me a few weeks ago. We had a great international potluck and prayer time back in March with over 70 people hosted by No Limits. We had powerful evenings of prayer and worship at the office where so many felt like God spoke to them. Victor has done a fantastic job with Sunday morning prayer, not just making sure that it happens, but empowering others to be involved in it, which is a mark of a true elder, equipping others for the work of the ministry. We saw student ministry morph into more of a middle school discipleship group instead of a program, which was always my heartbeat, because we're a decentralized church. We saw Jen start a new roadie serve staff, which has massively empowered me and the worship team and the elders to be available for prayer instead of having to rush out the door. And so we thank you. We had our healthiest financial year since 2020, and 2020 wasn't really real and accurate because it was stimulus money, right? And so everybody was like, woo, throwing money around. And so we had our healthiest fiscal year since 2020. I think our final number for the year in 2024 was about $510,000, including $100,000 of that came in December for missions, okay? And let me just remind you that we give that entire December offering away on top of our regular giving. And so still crunching all of those numbers, but the 20% received in December plus the giving we did throughout the rest of the year, it looks like we will have used about 50% of our money from 2024 for benevolence, mission, service, and evangelism. But if you only look at one day, if you just look at April 17th, 2024, you know what it looks like? It looks like God's doing nothing. It looks like God's doing nothing. It's a very unimportant date. It looks like God's doing nothing. But this is the way life and ministry work. This is the way the kingdom of heaven works. Jesus says the kingdom is like a little bit of yeast that works through the whole dough. He says it's like this mustard seed that grows over time to become this large garden plant. So God reminds us, be still. Stop striving. I am God. I will be exalted. The world's going to turn even if you get the flu, because I oversee the world. Grass is going to grow. The flowers are going to blossom and they're going to fade. Birds will be fed. That's why in Matthew, when Jesus is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, he says, consider the birds. That's his command. Don't be anxious. Look at the birds. Don't be anxious. Look at the flowers. Are they panicking? No. God cares for the sparrow. How much more does he care for you? The grass will grow, the flowers will blossom and fade, the birds will be fed. God will be exalted among the nations. God's name will be made great. God is victorious, and therefore so are we. So, just breathe. Be still. Sink into his presence. Now, the reality is I gave you guys all those numbers, but numbers aren't good metrics because they don't tell the whole story. There's a lot of other things to celebrate beyond numbers, like the fact that we strive for faithfulness even if we don't know what God's doing, like the fact that God is good even in our suffering, like the fact that God has already demonstrated his love for us by dying on a cross and being raised from the dead. These are things we can always celebrate at all times. And so we said to be still, which means to not strive. And so if I'm not supposed to strive, like what am I supposed to do? Like, should we just all buy boats? Should like Revolve buy a boat? Like, should we buy a yacht with that money and just kind of hang out on it? Pray, we're gonna pray, right? Is that what we should be doing? Well, this was my question going into 2025. As I started journaling in the beginning of December, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, what do you want from us? What do you want from us? And one Monday, I spent about 4 hours journaling and praying, and God brought me to various passages of Scripture, but he spoke to my heart very clearly. And it's fun when that happens and the Lord is leading you to Scripture and you see the thread that he's pulling. And I just want to share with you, kind of copying and pasting from my journal, some of the things that I felt like the Lord was saying. Well, the first thing he said to me was, be still. Psalm 46:10, be still. Okay, I just shared with you guys. He said, be still, as I'm reading the scripture. He's prompting my heart. He's reminding my heart by his Holy Spirit. Be still and know that I am God. Guys, that means that God is God over me. He's God over you. He's God over your current family situation. He is God over Revolve. He is God over the United States. He is God over the world. He is God. He's not biting his nails, as one of our elders, Steve Tecco, always says. He's not biting his nails wondering if you're going to mess it up or if you're going to elect the right leader, or if this is going to happen or not happen in this country. That's not what God is doing, because God is seated above all of that, and he looks at the nations and scoffs, Psalm 2. I am God. He brought me to Isaiah 27. As he speaks over, in the context, he's speaking over Israel. And I was thinking about this idea of the way that God views Revolve, and I wrote, Revolve is my vineyard. And I am its keeper, the vine dresser. Every moment I water her and I watch over her, I keep her day and night. I have no wrath towards her, only love and affection. And from there, that brought me to John 15, thinking that I wonder if Jesus had this in mind, if Jesus was reflecting on Isaiah 27 when he said, John 15, he said that I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. In John 15, we are reminded that God prunes those that he loves. And what does he want to prune in me and Bill? He wants to prune self-reliance. He wants to prune striving. And from John 15, God brought me back to Isaiah 55 and reminded me how he does his work. He says in Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him. Forsake your way. Return to the Lord. God does not work as you work. You strive without result, but God's word always accomplishes its purpose." To be still. To be still is to sit with the Lord. It's to pursue his presence by sinking into the word and prayer. It's by embracing stillness. Listen to me. It's by embracing a posture of surrender and a process of pursuit. To be still is to embrace a posture of surrender and a process of pursuit. And that's why in the next 2.5-3 months, we are going to begin the year with a concerted push into what's called spiritual formation, spiritual disciplines, habits of grace. There's lots of different names for it. All mean the same thing. Basically, these are God's means for intimacy and maturity. It's what Isaac over the summer called simple obedience. He said, everybody wants to do radical obedience. He said, but simple obedience leads to significant obedience, leads to radical obedience. And this is what simple obedience looks like. It's the basic building blocks of faith, biblical meditation on the Word of God, praying, worship, fasting, stewardship, silence and solitude, service, community, evangelism, learning. These are the basic building blocks of the disciplines which we see in Jesus' life, which we see in the Apostle Paul's life, which we see throughout the scriptures. And so as I unpack this and the elders with me over the next few months on Sunday mornings, Victor is going to simultaneously offer a class on Sunday mornings from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. where he's going to have a spiritual formation program that you guys can go through together. Basically, you're saying, well, I like what I'm hearing, but I want more help implementing it. And that's what Victor is going to be available to do. And you can sign up for that. That's going to begin at the beginning of February. And so the first thing I felt like the Lord said to me during my time of journaling and praying was be still. And then the second thing, as I was reading God's word and praying, was this: be faithful. Guys, we live in a world that values effectiveness. We live in a world that values results. We live in a world that cares about numbers. We live in a world, I say this to my kids all the time, we live in a world that is so messed up that everything needs to be elite. Like, you can't just be into playing guitar, you need to be the best guitar player who ever existed. And if you're not, you're wasting your time. That's the culture we have right now in the world. Think about it. It's like that in every area. It's like that in every sport. It's like that in every hobby. It's like that in every pursuit. We used to joke about it, that the first time I observed this was with CrossFit. That it went from being like, let's be in shape, to if you're not an elite athlete, you're a loser. Right? This is the culture of social media. This is the culture of Instagram. Everything needs to be perfect. Everything needs to be intense. But God says, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful with what's right in front of you. Well, what's right in front of us? We have some 225 people. First Peter commands the elders. He says, as a fellow elder, I command you to shepherd the flock of God that's entrusted to you. This is why, by the way, it's important when you say, well, I like going to this church, that church. I go to a bunch of different churches. Okay, well, that's great. No shepherd knows if they're responsible for you. 1 Peter 5 says, shepherd the flock entrusted to you. If your shepherd can't say, I know they're entrusted to me, and if you can't say, I know to whom I'm entrusted, chances are there's something dysfunctional in your habits and rhythms. It is my task, it's the elders' tasks, to be faithful with the people entrusted to us. You heard us this fall talk about what Revolve is all about, glorifying God by making disciples who make disciples of all nations until Jesus comes back. Amen. That's our goal. We do that by equipping you to hear, obey, and to share. That's what we need to do. We need to be faithful to that end. And so what are we going to do? What are we going to do as elders? What are we going to do as co-laborers? What are we going to do as brothers and sisters in Christ? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep preaching the Word of God faithfully, because the Word does the work. And frankly, if we don't have the Word, if we don't have the Spirit, we don't have anything. And so we're going to keep preaching the Word. We're going to preach through the disciplines. We're going to unpack Easter. And then we're going to go back to 2 Samuel for the entire year. All right? And so you have all that time to prepare. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in this room. We're going to keep praying midweek. There's a group that meets at 6 a.m. on Zoom every Wednesday. We're going to keep doing prayer and the public reading of Scripture four times a year on fifth Sunday months. And I know some of you don't like those Sundays because you want to hear a sermon. And I would just remind you of this. It is a biblical command for us to devote ourselves to the public reading of Scripture. And so we're publicly reading Scripture in accordance with the Scriptures. What could be more powerful than just listening to an entire book of the Bible be read cover to cover? What a privilege that we have to be able to do this. And so we're going to keep doing it. And we're going to keep praying during special times. For example, Victor is talking about leading prayer meetings the next three Wednesdays as we pray for the various mission trips that are happening in our church. And so keep an eye on the app for details. We're going to keep equipping. Like I said, Victor's going to do the spiritual discipline class. We're going to do the basics of how to read the Bible. The fancy term for that is called hermeneutics. Maybe you got the email this past week from us about picking a reading plan to read together. And we have resources that can help you read and get more out of your reading so you can feel like you're thriving in that. Things like biblical introduction, where you say, well, what is the book of Genesis all about? And you understand that before you read it. We're going to keep doing missional trainings like the Hub starting in February. And we're going to keep teaching on what does the Bible teach about X topic? What does the Bible say about sin? And we're going to teach about it. What does the Bible say about the church? And we're going to teach about it, because we need to understand these things better if we're going to love God with our mind as well as our heart. We're going to keep gathering. This Friday, we have discipleship group leaders meeting where we're going to remind them about the habits of healthy groups, where we sharpen one another and we pray for one another. And we're going to constantly be encouraging you guys to consider joining a DG if you consider Revolve to be your church home. And we're going to encourage you, for those of you who, as the author of Hebrews says, by now you ought to be teachers, you ought to be leaders. Some of you should be leading a discipleship group. And you've been in a group for 10 years and you have convinced yourself that you're incapable of leading a group. It's the enemy. Because the goal is for everybody to be capable of helping do these things. We're going to keep going. Guys, we have so many opportunities. We have so many amazing contacts. So many trips we could go on. So many things we could do. But what is the point of panicking and brainstorming? We need to be still and ask God for wisdom. God, where do you want us to go? When do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And so this is my challenge to us as a church family. Be still and be faithful. Be still in his presence. Be still with his presence. Be still and enjoy his presence. And I believe that if as a church family, we embraced that most basic command of being still before him, embracing the simple obedience of the spiritual disciplines, I believe you would be shocked at what God will do in you and through you in 2025. And I say that as in like, money back guarantee. If you devote your life, if you devote your family, if you devote your marriage, if you devote your discipleship group, if you devote your life to pursuing Christ, to being faithful, to hear, obey, and share, God's going to do amazing things, incomparable things, more than you could ask or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. I believe if you sit at his feet like the story of Mary and Martha in the Gospels and enjoy him, he will use you. I believe that if you are faithful with the small things today, the things that God puts in your path today, the way that you respond to your children's temper tantrums today, the way that you treat your spouse today, the way that you wrestle through the sins that hold you down today, whether or not you toss aside that which easily encumbers you and holds you back and tangles you today, if you deal with those things, if you lock in your brain and you push aside the device so that you can actually focus on the Lord today, he will use you in ways you never imagined. I believe that if you can actually commit this year to stop striving after that which fades and pursue that which lasts forever, you would be shocked at the stories you would have a year from now. And so the Lord has reminded me to be still and to be faithful, to do less in order to accomplish more. Because unless the Lord builds the house, the builder builds in vain. And so let's pray to that end. Father God, we give this year to you. God, we don't know what the year holds. Lord, we don't even know if you'll come back this year. We don't know if we'll be sick this year. We don't know anything. What we do know is that today is a day to pursue you. Today is a day to be faithful. And Lord, if there's anything we learn from the study of end things, like the book of Revelation, it's that we are supposed to live our lives with imminency. Because either by death or by your return, our lives are a mist and a vapor. And so teach us to number our days that we might obtain a heart of wisdom, that we might pursue the better portion, the best portion, hearing and obeying you. There's no greater joy than that, Lord. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that even this morning you would be stirring hearts and minds with what you have. And I pray, Lord, that we would be excited at the anticipation of trying to imagine what you could do through a church that collectively and individually sought after your heart. Lord, we have no desire to embrace cultural Christianity. We want to be a people who are sold out for you in our daily lives, in our homes, in our groups, when we're together, and wherever you send us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would commission your church. It's your church. It's your people, Lord. These are your people. You're the one who redeemed them by your blood, not me. You're the one who is responsible ultimately to bring them to a place of sanctification and glorification. And so, God, I pray that you would do this work in your people. In your name we pray. Amen.